T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Wild day here in Houston. Seth Payne, one half of Payne and Pendergast, joins us right now. You've been out at Camp Caserio, as we have. You've talked to Nick Caserio. With everything that's happened, the top thing that people are looking at, what's going on with Deshaun Watson? I'm just curious, because you have a different perspective, a former player in the league that has seen a lot of things. What's been your perspective of watching everything that's occurred this week with Deshaun, the team, and how everything has played out?
You know, it's funny, because I was talking to a Texans player today, and he said, well, I kind of asked him, like, so, you know, how's it really been? And he said, well, you know how it is. And I was like, kind of, I guess. Not like this. Maybe sort of. And it's the best way I could put it is that it's probably kind of like when you got, you know, a certain amount of dysfunction in your family. Maybe your brother's got some kind of issue, but your parents don't want to acknowledge it or believe it, and everybody just walks around tiptoeing around the topic all the time. I get the sense that that's what it's like, that there's this elephant in the room who wears a sweater to practice every day, and it's nobody probably have to worry about. And it's just it's a really, really uncomfortable deal. And I thought Clint probably described it best with the video he tweeted out. I encourage all of you to follow him on Twitter. But he tweeted it out afterwards, which was Clint described the scene of Deshaun at the end of practice, just on his knee, 30 yards away from everything else.
Unbelievable.
And it was just, it's a strange, strange scene. So I have a hard time putting words to what it must be like, other than that it is training camp. You know, 50% of the guys out there are going to get cut, especially on this team. It might be more than 50%, you know, and they'll re-sign more guys to replace them. So the one thing that keeps you from getting too distracted is that on this team especially, there are very, very few jobs that are safe. So guys got to worry about their own battles.
Seth, what about the, you know, I thought over three practices now, the two things, the heat is ridiculous. I don't know if the older we get, the thinner our skin is, or if it's really just that much hotter out there. I couldn't imagine being in pads, especially being a big guy playing D-line or O-line like you did. But the heat has been an absolute monster. They've been out there for 2.5 hours plus the first 2 days, 2 hours plus today. And I know I looked up today, and I was surprised. Again, particularly O-line, D-line, interior, I was surprised of the tempo, the energy, the effort, the speed, and the really good work they were getting in, even though they weren't in pads. Is that a fair assessment, or do you see it differently?
Yeah, I thought so. And especially today, we were lucky because we got to watch the one-on-one pass rush drills, and some of the drills were moved closer to the media than they had been the first couple days. That's exactly what I thought, Clint, was there was a whole lot of activity, guys moving explosively. I think that at least part of that is that in this defense, guys, especially defensive linemen, are encouraged to just get after it. Like I can remember playing in the league, and I always played on pretty much gap control defenses. They always, you know, as a defensive lineman, you got to try to get your hands into the guy across from you. You got to try to control your gap. Sometimes you'd be two gapping, and it's not a real aggressive mentality. There's a whole lot of thinking that goes on.
Yeah,
a lot of
reading, Seth, reacting. Seth, I heard you were really good at holding people.
Yeah, I was they made a teaching tape about it 1 year for the officials, and I was a targeted man.
Bastards.
Yeah. But it's a lot of thinking when you're in those schemes. And that's like what Ross Blacklock was in last year. As a rookie going into a scheme like that, sometimes it's tough because you're trying to do everything the right way. And there's so many different responsibilities. And look, it's not rocket science. It's still playing defensive line. But you start thinking. You start slowing your movements down a little. In this scheme, what I was saying was when I was in the league, guys used to be really jealous of defensive linemen that got to play in Tampa in some of those schemes like Lovie Smith's where you can just get off the ball and go. They want the defensive line sometimes to just play the run on your way to the quarterback. Get into the backfield, create havoc, and then the linebackers behind you will sort it all out. And it's a whole lot of – it's a fun way to play. And I think you see some of those guys responding to that right now. And Ross Blacklock looks like a different guy.
See, that's where I was going to. You took that, but I need you to open up a little bit more on that because you spoke about nobody else here would know what he's going through and what kind of step it would look like from a guy more than you who played the position. You talked about a lot with Ross Blacklock. I remember you saying last year just like if you could just talk with him about one thing about his head and how it and how it dips and everything. You said it looks like a completely different person in 3 days. You think you see a step taken from Ross Blacklock?
I think I do, but now that's the big grain of salt, right, is that it's no pads. Now, the issue that Ross Blacklock was having last year was when he was trying to do all those things that I was just talking about, playing with his hands, doing gap control, that was when he would be having those issues where he dropped his head, and then you end up on the ground. Your body goes, you know, your body goes where your head leads, and if your head is down, your body goes down. So I think, again, if you're just getting upfield, rushing the passer, trying to penetrate all the time, that might be much less of an issue. But we'll see when the pads come on. That's when, you don't get completely exposed on that until you get into the games. Because in practice, guys are trying not to go to the ground and everything. So sometimes offensive linemen don't really take advantage of that. We'll find out when the preseason games start if it's for real.
Hey, Seth, I want to go back over to the quarterback position with you real quick because my mind's in a different place. I mean, I'm so into the technical side of playing the game and a guy's ceiling and you know the ways he can different ways he can threaten the defensive coordinator and stretch the field and all this yada yada yada. Right? I mean, that's just where my mind's at when I watch it. I've always been curious as a defensive lineman when you're playing. Do you guys go, man, I don't want no damn rookie starting for me, and I'd rather have the 9-year vet, or do you just trust in the offensive coaches to make the right decision? How much of your thought is go really as a player out that's not in the huddle with that quarterback every day, does your mind wander into those spaces, or do you just say, to hell with it, I trust him to go make the right decision?
You know, the only time I ever played with a rookie for an extended period of time was David Carr when he was a rookie. And as a defensive player, it can be frustrating because you can see exactly what his flaws are. You know, David Carr had an issue his rookie year where he was tipping the snap count. I mean, it was a big problem. He was dropping his hand right before the snap, and guys were picking up on that. And the first game, we kind of jumped out on Dallas, and it looked great. But by the second game, all those guys like Junior Seau and those other veterans on the San Diego Chargers defense had figured a few tells out. And things like that you can see when you're watching on the sidelines as a defensive player. You know, and we would tell David stuff like this, but rookies are working on so many things that they can't absorb it all. So that part can be frustrating. And I would imagine – you know, if at some point Davis Mills gets some starts this year, yeah, there's probably some natural, you know, wondering or questioning by defensive players. Hey, and you know, wide receivers, like, hey, man, maybe, you know, Tyrod would be getting me the ball better. But that's also just part of life in the NFL, and especially with this team this year. The worst quarterback controversy I ever heard of from guys that I played with or around or guys in the league that I knew where players genuinely took sides in the locker room was Doug Flutie and Rob Johnson. That was I remember Jay Foreman telling me that it was some guys felt like they had to stick with Rob Johnson. There were other guys that just felt like, man, no, Doug Flutie's the truth. This guy's a winner, and you got to play him. So that it does happen. It does become a distraction. But that was a much more competitive team than this one will probably be.
Well, Seth, we thank you for jumping on with us. I know everybody needs to go ahead and get up. Make sure you're listening to Seth and Sean in the morning. And I know you guys will be talking about this real quick preview. What's your thoughts about Miles Straw being out of here? They're trading him, and it looks like Chaz McCormick's going to be the center fielder.
Miles Straw, I'm glad that he proved me and so many other people wrong, but I'm also kind of glad not to have the reminder of it around all the time. I don't have to have any kind of, you know, moral regret over that or anything. And everybody loves Chaz McCormick. My only fear for Chaz McCormick is now you've got the pressure on you. You know, everybody, it was like with Lance McCullers. Everybody was very, very gentle and easy on Lance McCullers until he got that contract. And then all of a sudden he has one or two rough stretches, and it turns into the people saying it's the worst contract ever for a little stretch earlier in the year. So I'm excited for Chaz McCormick, but I'm also a little bit nervous for him.
All right, that's Seth Payne, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. And once again, make sure you check him out tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 8 tomorrow.
Hey, and everybody.
Tomorrow's Saturday, never mind. I'm drunk.
Yeah, tomorrow's Saturday. You guys, somebody's on at noon tomorrow. I got to tell you guys, I actually have a couple more minutes because I'm on my way to the airport, and I was nervous about making that through. But the Galleria, I went like 37 miles per hour all the way through. It's like a red carpet laid out.
No way.
So, yeah, that's a good omen for the weekend, everybody.
That's good. I've never been to the Galleria, so I don't know if that's fast.
It's lightning fast.
Is it
show?
Lightning fast?
Yes.
I haven't made that trip yet.
I'm not at the Galleria. I'm driving through. We call that whole section of town Galleria. But if you, at some point in your life here in Houston, you're going to find yourself asking, how is there a traffic jam at 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday? What the hell is going on here? But it's a rite of passage.
Hey, Seth, when you get back, we're back to some kind of normal with everything wide open for us, man. We got to get out and get a drink, man. Climb a couple of them Blue Mountains, Silver Bullets or something, man.
I don't want to create a conflict here, but I'm a Bud Light man, my friend.
Oh my God! All right, you gotta go here, Seth. That's it. Cut him off. Cut him off, Tyler. Seth Payne.
September 2nd, you can draft your fantasy team. Go to my Twitter for the link. Sponsored by Bud Light.
Get out of here,
Seth's
man.
A lot bigger than me, show. I ain't cutting him off.
For coming on.
Yeah, hey, that's good. I like it. We'll throw some ads up on the man together, side
How
by side.
That's great. Wow. All right, Seth.
Thanks,
get out of here.
All right, safe travels, brother.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.